Give me land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in.
Just turn me loose, let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. Let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise.
I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences.
Hello.
And gaze at the moon till I...
Mic check.
Testing one, two.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's going on? It sounds like you were running from the toilet or something.
I was running from the kitchen.
That's pretty impressive. It's like you used your plastic arm, like Plastic Man, to stretch over there and pick it up while your body was
the button. Yeah,
while your body was in the other room.
It's true. I don't have one of those fancy wireless headsets. Allows me to freely evacuate my bladder while while continuously talking about comic books. And welcome to Geek Brunch.
Yeah, we're going to have Luke Foster on.
Oh.
Now you're depressed?
Well, I don't remember getting that memo. I don't remember approving this.
It's not in your script. I told you to write it in. I could have sworn I tweeted you this.
Hey, whoa. Somehow I have two glasses with ice in them on my desk.
But no, nothing in there but ice.
Yeah, just ice. Yeah. So seriously, Luke Skywalker Foster's coming on today?
Yeah, Luke Foster. Luke, I tried to coordinate this with Bill, but it didn't work out, and he doesn't want to. He needs to prep the script, and you're not part of it, so he doesn't know what to do.
So, yeah, it was nice having you on, Luke. We'll talk to you soon.
Well, if it helps, I've been doing a lot of improv classes, so I could go.
No, but you don't understand. Me and Bill read off a script, and you're not in the script.
So we won't be able to reference you or reply
to
you.
All you could do is sit here and listen to us talk. That's all we can offer you.
Well, that's fair. What if you were to use an old script and just replace all of Micah with me?
We throw away our scripts after we're done.
So we'd
have to go
artists.
Back and listen to that episode. All right.
All right, Mike, how you doing?
Sorry, Luke, but we didn't have this right. And Bill's really anal retentive about his scripts.
We'll do our best, but we're not
like to deviate at all.
Yeah, we're not trained in improv like some people.
Yeah,
I understand.
We don't know how to roll with changes. We fear change.
So what we could do is me and Bill could talk, and you can talk, but then I'll edit you out later.
Okay.
Or about maybe. You should drop off the call. Mike and I will just talk, and then you can record your own MP3, send it to Mike, and then we'll just like layer them on top of each other.
That works too.
That sounds too damn difficult. you do that work. Layer them on top. I like the other idea better. I'm not that sophisticated.
But what are you going to do every time Luke talks then? A buzzer?
Yeah, I'll put like, okay, Luke talk, and then you talk, and then I'll edit it out later. How about that? Sounds right. Good. Well, this is Geek Brunch episode. Where are we at now, Bill?
Are at 237.
Yes, you were.
I don't know. I'm guessing.
You're guessing? You were going to say you're a damn professional this year.
Well, isn't it typical for the guest to announce the show?
Oh, yeah. That was the old way. Why don't you do it? You're brunch buddy this week.
It was 238.
There. I don't know. I'm looking.
Geek Brunch, episode 238. Here are your hosts, Mr. Mike Myers and Bill Bomer.
It's not even 238.
220.
220.
Luke, God damn it, Luke.
God damn it, improv. Shit.
Hey, I improvised the number.
I knew this was a mistake. I knew it.
Now Bill's frustrated. Bill's
frustrated. God damn it, we got to stick to the script. Stick to the script. I told you. What did I tell you? Oh, we'll never recover from this. Never. Welcome to the final episode of Geek Brunch Podcast.
Did you eat your half donut, by the way?
I did. I'm feeling good. Delicious. Half of Bavarian cream.
Daryl's going to beat you the next guy. I don't want to see that. Are you going to go to any conventions this year,
Bill? Me? I would like to.
If you go, Daryl's going to try to avoid the ones that Daryl's going to be at. He's going to beat your ass so bad.
He's weak now, though, from all the... He's just drinking smoothies.
Drinking kale. He's going to be all thin and bones when you see him.
I'll be able to do some yoga at me.
Yeah, double penetration yoga. One in the stink and one in the pink. All right, this sounds like DC Noise last night, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Luke was on that show too. I was just working on editing him out. So Luke, why don't you tell us what you're here to promote?
I am here.
Who the hell are you?
My name is Luke Foster, and I'm a Hartford-based cartoonist. I'm doing a Kickstarter for a book collection of the first 18 months of my comic strip, The Center of Somewhere, which is an all-ages daily comedy strip. Or was daily for a while. It's 3 days a week now. But it's basically about a group of talking animals, humans, and ghosts who just muck about having a good time in small-town middle America. And the book, it collects about 360-odd strips. I forget the exact count, but it's 108 pages long. It'll have some never-before-seen bonus material. Full color, 8 by 10 and a half inches, so it's about the size of a magazine. It's also the size of my last book, which I kickstarted. Kickstarter ends on February 25th at 7:09 p.m. Eastern Time. So as soon as that's it settled away, I will be sending the files off to the printer, and hopefully about a month after that, I should have the books back, and I'll start sending them out. All the work is done; it's ready to go. It just has to be, like I said, just sent to the printer. So that's it. I've got a bunch of different backer rewards going. It's everything from just a thank you in the book to original sketches for folks. By sketches, I mean like full color, like with Copic marker drawings of any character you want. Hard copies of the new book, digital PDFs of the new book, combinations of both. You can get like this new book and one of my old books from my original comic series, Moon Freight 3. You can get like every one of these back rewards if you're interested. And there's even a retailer exclusive level too, where you can get 5 books at a discounted price and I will personalize and sketch in the books for your store. And if you're an individual, I will do personalized sketches for you as well. And also as an incentive for my all my friends, internet friends, if I get 80% of funding by next Sunday night, I will grow a nice, thick, bushy Ron Swanson mustache and take photos of it so everybody can make fun of me.
I thought you were going to say bush.
You'll grow out your bush?
You're going to grow out your bush.
That too,
groin,
but that's
in
that's
your groin area.
And you'll take a picture of it.
The gold
and there'll be
backers.
Exclusive pictures in the back of the Kickstarter for you people that donate $100 or more. So you could get a picture, a personalized bush picture of Luke's bush.
I can think of one or two people who would probably take you up on that.
There you go. That's how to hit your max there.
There you go. I'd say 1,000, though.
It takes you 2 seconds to take a picture of your bush.
That's true.
That's and it.
It lasts a lot.
Money in your pocket.
Money in your pocket. You can go edit your Kickstarter right now.
Well, and
or you could paste, you could shave your bush and then use it as the mustache for your face.
That's
or you can customize each sketch you do with a mustache made with pubic hair.
I'll do any character you want and I'll draw pubes on the face. See, me and Bill are men of ideas.
You are. You are.
Wait till you see our Kickstarter.
Oh, I'm waiting with bated breath.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is my requested sketch, I'm going to request extra bush.
And I thank you both because you both supported it, and I really appreciate that.
Can I request zombies?
Yeah.
Specifically, my children as zombies.
Sure.
Excellent. Crossed zombies.
Crossed zombies. Have the cross on the face.
Oh, my children as the crossed.
Oh, God.
Probably won't have.
You know, if you did that, then he'd be censored because they're censoring Cross Comics. Did you hear about that?
I did not.
The baby scene in Cross 100. There's a comic store that's like censoring them. It was a big deal.
Oh, just a comic store? I did not see it. Yeah,
they are not going to get Cross Comics anymore because of that scene.
What happened?
There's a baby scene. I haven't read it yet, but I read the article about the controversy.
Oh, I really missed that.
There's been babies before.
I know. That's what. Well, you know who showed me the article was Bob Breetal. You know how he does the comic spectrum?
Yeah.
So if you go find his page on the Facebooks, you can see the article. Yeah, he's like, haven't these guys read Cross before? That's pretty tame.
If it was Cross, if it was Cross 100, they might not have and just ordered it because of Alan Moore.
Yeah, but Cross 100's tame. Oh my God, is it tame compared to what we see? Mm.
But so, anyway, I could draw your children as the cross, but I will not have them holding any mutilated body parts.
No necklaces?
No.
No, I don't think he wants the cross. I think he wants a zombie, right?
Yeah, probably more wholesome.
Because the cross is a little – it implies something.
That cross goes a little too far.
It's got kind of like a religious cross on the face of blood, you know? It's like – strange.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But I could draw them as regular old zombies.
So support the Kickstarter.
Yes.
It's a wonderful all ages tale.
All ages, and if you spend more money it could turn into explicit. That's what but there will be Bush. Luke's Bush will be in the back of the
the back of the book.
That's Mike Myers' guarantee.
It'll say about the author, and it'll have Luke's bush.
It's a picture of a bush.
It'll have no text. Just say about the author.
Right. And Luke, you'll be keeping that mustache through all your con appearances, right?
No, I'll be keeping it for about a month. Basically, I'm going to time it so when I visit my niece, I can shave it off so it doesn't terrify her. Because she's still a baby.
It's going to terrify everybody if you got pubes on your face. Not just your niece.
Yeah, but she's the only person I care about, so.
I don't know. If I see you at a con and you don't have a big bush on your face, I'm going to be disappointed. That's all I'm saying.
All right, well, you know, for you, I'll see what I can do.
That was By the way, all our discussions so far, Bill had sent me the script for that. Over I am. This guy's a master.
See, yeah, if because we were planning on having our cross discussion now, so we had to kind of mix it with the.
Yeah, he's like a.
The Kickstarter discussion, so that's kind of how they kind of got combined there. The All Ages Kickstarter with the cross.
I didn't know how I was going to come across because Bill typed, mention Luke's bush. Like, how do I handle this?
Well, I don't often use the word visionary, but Bill is kind of a visionary.
I think those two blended together perfectly. Like, could not have been smoother. Bush and All Ages is fun.
Oh, my.
You are a master, Bill. That's why I hired you.
I gotta earn the paycheck somehow.
Yeah, these IMs are incredible. Like live dynamic scripting. All right, so let's kick this one off.
What's the easiest way for people to find it on Kickstarter?
You can just go to Kickstarter.com. You can search for The Center of Somewhere, or you can search for My Name, Luke Foster. The full title of the book is Center of Somewhere, Volume 1, Small Town Heroes. If you follow me on Twitter, at Cartoonist Luke, I post up links there at least twice a day, same as on my Facebook and my Tumblr, which is cartoonistluke.tumblr.com. If you have any questions about it, feel free to email me through the Kickstarter or send me a message on Twitter or on Tumblr, and I will get to it right away.
Hey, Luke, I just typed Bush in the search engine here, and it didn't come up. I
haven't had a chance to edit it yet.
Okay. Bush.
Look up Mustache Bush.
Mustache Bush. Pubic Bush. Let me try that one.
Good thing you're searching on Kickstarter and not on.
Yeah, if it was Google, everything would come up. Google never lets you down.
So Luke, do you go to the same publisher, like printer, I mean?
Yeah, I go to kablam.com. They got a pretty good print on demand system. And six books have come out pretty well from them, so I like them. There are other places I'd like to try, but my order levels are usually too low for them. Like, they have, like, Kablam will let you do any number of books. Like, you could do, like, 1 to 1,000, but some places will have you, like, do a minimum of a few hundred.
Yeah.
So Kablam fits my needs for my printing.
Yeah.
And it's good because I'm actually almost out of Drawn Away, so I'm going to have to order more.
Nice.
Yeah. I've only got like 8 copies of that left, which is pretty great.
Do you think that's your most popular of what you've done? Oh, yeah,
definitely.
Well, I think that one appeals to more than just comic readers.
Yeah, from an historical perspective, a tour of the U.S.
Americana. Kind of
thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely did. It was a very unique and unusual sort of thing, and there was definitely a lot of appreciation appeal to people for it. So yeah, that one has done very well for me.
A travelogue, if you will.
Yes. Now I just have to raise enough money to do a second one.
The Canadian version.
April 1st, it's cold. April 2nd, it's cold. Then I get to Vancouver. It's nice.
As long as you stay close to the border, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Just don't go too far north.
No, 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 no.
Although you got it at some point. Got to hit the territories.
Yeah, Edmonton.
Got to go up to like Yukon.
Oh my.
Northwest Territories. Yeah. Kill some mooses.
Eat some bag bacon and
some Canadian bacon.
There you go.
Some Tim Hortons.
Drink some beer.
You had me at Tim Hortons and beer.
Good day, eh?
Hey.
Put on your toque.
Put on your toque, yeah. Galoo-goo-goo-goo-goo-goo-goo.
When I was a kid, we used to listen to that album like over and over again.
Yeah, we did too. And we saw it, went to go see Strange Brew too, the movie with them.
That album was.
I used to like the 12 Days of Christmas thing that they did.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That's a classic.
Yeah. They kind of give up half the way through it, I think. I don't know what the fuck. They skip the lines and everything.
And I was like, I can't remember what it was called, like the coffee story or something. He was talking about he had to stay up all night, so he was drinking coffee, and he was making coffee sandwiches.
I think I still have that cassette tape. I'll have to dig it out.
Yeah, I wonder if I have that on any media. We used to have it on the LP. Good old records.
They still have a following, unlike cassette tapes.
It's because it's the pure sound, man.
It is.
You can't reproduce that digitally.
Sound quality, baby. So
I also like them because other media like can break down, but I think records last a really long time.
Yeah.
I guess they could.
I think CDs will last a long time.
Man, they break down too.
Tapes will definitely break down, especially 8-tracks.
I don't have any 8-tracks.
8-tracks. Aren't we roughly the same in age, Bill?
You're like a couple years older than me.
Oh, so I'm an old fart. You never had 8-tracks.
Actually, I think you're a year older than me. So yeah, you're much older than me.
No, older and wiser.
Yeah, I remember 8-tracks, but we never like had one that I remember.
Yeah, you're
we had record players, and we had the big tape-to-tape reels. My dad had one of those, like the big, huge tape things.
For music? For sound?
Yeah.
Wow. See, yeah, we had the 8mm projector.
Yeah, of course we had one of those.
matter of fact, we had like the Star Wars clip where it showed like 3 scenes from the movie. And me and my brother used to set up that projector and watch that thing like over and over and over again.
So what
and
were then, the scenes? Trash compactor?
No, not unfortunately. It was the scene with Ben and Luke, like when he gives him the lightsaber. And then it had I can't remember what the third scene was, but then it had the scene where they were in the Millennium Falcon shooting the TIE fighters using the guns. You know, it was Luke and one gun and Han and the other gun. And, man, I can't remember what the third scene was. It was towards the end. I think when they blew up the Death Star.
Like going down the...
Yeah, it was really short clips. It was like... But we used to watch it over and over and over again. My brother
How long were those? Weren't those things like 3 minutes or something? The 8mm?
Yeah, this one was a bigger one. It was... had a little more tape, but it didn't last very long. We have a lot of like home movies that my brother converted to digital, and I just can't find the disc because one of the rooms where I carry all my trades has become immovable. But I'd like to go in there and see what he did cut over from the 8mm. So, this has been Geek Brunch.
It says about 4 minutes of footage.
Daryl said he wanted shorter episodes.
Daryl saying this?
Yeah, last night.
Doesn't he put out like about 20 hours of podcasts a week?
He says that our podcast is too short. He was complaining because we were too short.
Too short.
He said that you let him down. He says you... hung up too soon.
he says you don't eat good enough food, so you don't have enough energy to do.
So by the end, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, he's like, just tell him to talk about food, but he eats the same shit all the time.
I always forget to write down my food.
It's the same stuff. Canned fish.
See what I had? Donuts. Half a donut.
Half a donut.
Canned tuna. A banana. I had a banana.
An apple. Some tofu? Did you have some of that?
I haven't had the tofu in a while. I want to have some, though. Maybe I'll have that tonight. Some tofu.
How about some Satan?
I did have some Satan. I did have Satan this week. I had a delicious Satan sandwich. I grilled up some onions and some peppers.
It was from pure hell. It was an inferno.
Then I threw some Satan in there.
Yeah.
That was good. Put it on a bun. Put some A1 sauce on there.
Throw some Mephisto in there and some Lucifer and you're set.
A couple ghost peppers. That's not really demonic, is it? That are there any demonic peppers?
What's a ghost pepper? It's a pepper that...
Ghost, a pepper heard of a ghost so hot, pepper?
It'll fill you and turn you into a ghost.
No, I've never heard of a ghost pepper. What is a pepper? You pretend you put a pepper in there, and it's not really there?
I've never had it. It's like I think an Indian pepper.
Oh, maybe that's why I don't know.
It's one of the hottest peppers in the world.
But jolokia.
But jolokia. B-U-T-T jolokia?
B-H-U-T jolokia. You can just, or you can just look up ghost pepper. That'd probably be easier. Let's find the most difficult to type. Okay, here, I'll give you like the Hindi letters for it. There's like a line and then a circle and a squiggly thing under it. And then the next one's like a circle with a little dash in the middle. Hello?
Hi. I'm here. You said in the script to have a brief pause there. I didn't want
to. I know, and then it says Bill says hello, and then Mike says you said.
Right. Mike will go on mute and cough a couple times. So I actually did it. I just follow your script. That's
as needed. Cough as needed. And I don't think I've ever had a ghost pepper. I've just heard of them.
I definitely haven't had one. So, want to talk some comics?
Of course.
Comic books.
Why don't you say something, Luke? Tell us about what you're reading.
Okay. My batch of comics this past week that I picked up yesterday, I got the new issue of The Hulk, number 11. It continues Doc Green's attempts to get rid of all the gamma-powered characters in the Marvel Universe that aren't him. And it's added a bit of a twist to the Extremis that the Hulk has. And it's going to cause – it's set, basically kind of set up the new plot for how things are going to go from here, like set up the new conflicts for the Hulk.
What do you think of it? You're a Hulk
– I'm enjoying it. I like what they said – what they did in – first of all,
this is Dugan, right? Or...
Yeah. Yep, Jerry Dugan and Mark Bagley. I like the Doc Green thing that this was a different version of the Smart Hulk. This was like Savage Hulk with Extremis versus like Hulk with Banner's brain. And I like how they've been clearing out a lot of the extra gamma-powered characters and just kind of bring it down to just the Hulk again. Excuse me. And are you guys going to read this issue? I'll spoil it mildly if you want.
No, you can spoil it. I don't read Hulk.
Okay. Well, the Doc Green, he had made a AI, an artificial intelligence of copy of his intellect, so he could have a backup for whatever reasons. But the Extremis is starting to break down in Doc Green's brain, and he doesn't know. He wasn't immediately aware of it, but he wasn't as smart as the AI. So now that the AI is smarter than him, it's he suddenly realized the AI is making decisions that he wouldn't do. Like he was trying to send Lyra, his daughter, back to the alternate timeline she came from, but the AI thought she was too powerful, so he basically sent her to like this Lovecraft dimension, where she's now trapped fighting giant tentacle monsters and stuff. And he tried to destroy the AI, but it jumped out of the computer into the internet, so it's out there waiting to come back and make the decisions that Doc Green won't be able to soon enough because he's going to be Savage Hulk again.
How did he get the Extremis?
When he was shot in the head, they were doing...
shot in the head? Was that the Wade version or the...
It was right at the end of the last version of Wade's, and then like Wade wrote the first four issues like after he got shot. So they were doing brain surgery on him, but the doctor realized that the doctor who was operating on him realized that the people who shot him were trying to put some implant to control him, to control the Hulk, into his brain. So she didn't anesthetize him as much as she should have. So he woke up. She did it on purpose. And so he woke up before they could do anything to him. And he ran off. And but his brain is still uncovered because they were in the middle of surgery. So he turned back into Banner while his brain was still exposed, and it caused him permanent brain damage. So to fix that, Tony Stark and I think Ant-Man, definitely Stark, to heal Banner's brain, put Extremis into him, and when he turned into the Hulk, Green Hulk also had the Extremis. So when he hulked out again, he was now this person known as Doc Green, and he refused to. He would never go to sleep, so he wouldn't let Banner out again. And he decided to be the super intellect that Banner was, but with the ruthlessness of the Hulk.
Cool.
Yeah. I also read Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number 2, and that book is so much fun.
I read the first one on that.
Yeah, your kids would probably like this, Bill.
Yeah, they might.
In this issue, she's continuing on her attempts to get into her first week of college and signing up for clubs and everything like that. And
so this is the concept is a girl with the powers of a squirrel.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's been around for a while, and she's been taken seriously, too. Like, she is the babysitter in an Avengers mansion taking care of Luke Cage's kid. And when one of the Avengers houses was being invaded, and she's pretty badass. Yeah. This one looked like it was taking a lighthearted take to her in a very unique art style that didn't appeal to me, so I didn't try it.
Fair enough. But you know, she's still completely unbeatable, like she's been in like all her other appearances. In her first issue, she defeated Kraven the Hunter, and now she's got to go defeat Galactus, because Galactus cloaked himself to everybody on Earth except for the squirrels. So the squirrels know they're approaching, and she doesn't have time to alert all the other Avengers because it would be too late. So she's going off to the moon to defeat Galactus. And it's really funny. I'm really enjoying this book, and if you like that more younger oriented stuff, it'd definitely be up your alley.
Definitely a fun book.
Yeah.
So you enjoyed it, Bill?
Yeah, I liked it. I'm not going to continue with it, but it was enjoyable.
Why aren't you continuing with it? Was it too? All ages? Or
yeah, it was too lighthearted for me.
Yeah.
But it was really well done. So.
Well, didn't we read a book last week where it was like that, where we both liked it and thought it was good, but oh, it was a motherfucker, holy fuck. That's what we talked about, holy fuck number one.
Yeah. Man, we just jump between like the all ages and then... The other end of the spectrum in a second.
That's right.
What's that book we read that was like Squirrel Girl? Oh yeah, holy fuck.
No, it wasn't like Squirrel Girl. It was our same response. What was the same response for your Squirrel Girl? You tried the first issue. We thought it was pretty decent, but I didn't want any more of the holy fuck. I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like that. I mean, there's books that you like and they want to continue reading, and then there's just ones that you liked, but they just didn't grab you. Not to say that there's anything wrong with them or they're bad. They just didn't
click with you. I like the Squirrel Girl, though. Like, but I've only liked her in a couple of takes, and I don't know if this is that take. It didn't look like it.
No, it's definitely not going to be for everybody, but for the people it is for, they will like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read Grayson number 7.
Would you say that it's like what is that other book? Oh, like if you like Rocket Raccoon, will you like this?
I actually haven't read Rocket Raccoon.
Okay.
But I would suspect you would.
It's kind of like an all ages thing. That's why I left Rocket Raccoon, because I thought it was really well done, and I liked what Scotty Young was doing in it, but I was like, do I want to continue? I might try it if it ever shows up like digitally for 99 cents. But go ahead, Grayson.
I read Grayson number 7, which is like part 2 of the story that's been currently going, where the villains were going to set off this mind bomb in Tel Aviv to cause this giant murderous riot, and Grayson was stuck in the gardener's carrier because he'd just gotten beaten by the Midnighter and locked up there. And then they...
That was weird to me, though, because the gardener seemed to come out of nowhere.
Yeah, I haven't read any of the other Stormwatch stuff since, like, the very beginning of the New 52. So
I read it, and I don't even remember the gardener. So I was a little confused about that. I'm confused about everything that has to do with Midnighter in that book. and it's not because I understand what role he's playing in the book and what device he's like the adversary to Grayson, but the way he comes across is he comes across as Grayson's villain, and he's not really a villain.
Yeah,
and I don't think new readers that haven't read Midnighter will ever like they won't know anything about this character.
I won't give away too much, but they do address that a little bit in this issue.
With the Gardner discussion?
With Midnighter specifically.
Yeah, a little bit.
And that's actually funny because I mean, we haven't heard about the Gardner really too much, but the Gardner ship was one of the ones, if you look at the Multiversity guidebook, it's one of the bleed ships listed on the giant map in the middle of the handbook.
Well, I didn't know the Gardner because I didn't read. I think that's like a reference to old Authority or Stormwatch or something that he was in.
It might have. I read all that stuff. I didn't remember, though.
Yeah, I didn't remember. I read some of it, but I don't remember the Gardner.
Then I read The Names, number 6, from Vertigo. It's this miniseries about this woman whose husband is murdered, and she goes on this, like, revenge thing to try to figure out who set him up to – who faked his suicide and who – and what's all going – it's a big old conspiracy-type book.
Who's writing that one?
Peter Milligan.
Okay.
It's not bad, but – I'm not really sure where it's going, so I'm just kind of – I don't really know what's up. There's 3 more issues to go, so I'm in it for the long haul, but it's just kind of
– Might as well stick with it now.
Yeah. It started off really good. It's just kind of confusing now. I'm not sure if it's supposed to be like still like a conspiracy theory or if there's like some sort of like you know, magical elements to it or what's going on. Then I read American Vampire number 6. The book is finally back after a few month long hiatus. And it's the beginning of the arc about the vampires in space. They give you a lot more background about the main villain, the Gray Trader, who's going to be like the antagonist for this second half of the series, and continues march through the 20th century about the vampires. It's American Vampire, so it's great, so. Then I read The Bunker number 9, which is actually my last. It's the end of the second arc, and it's going to be my last issue.
Don't spoil it for me.
I'm not going to, but I'm just saying I'm not going to be reading it after this point because it's taking way too long to get anywhere, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I read Annihilate.
Are you reading it monthly, Bill, or is that one of the trade things?
No, I'm getting it monthly. I'm behind on it, though. A couple issues back.
Then I read Annihilator number 5 by Grant Morrison and Fraser Irving, which is pretty good. There's one more issue of that to go. And are either of you guys reading Annihilator?
I'm not. I think Bill read the first one.
I read the first one.
Are you going to read it in trade?
I don't remember what that one was.
It's about the guy. He's the science fiction writer, and he gets a brain tumor, and then this guy appears. Like the character he was writing in his script appears and says that you don't actually have a brain tumor. I shot my entire memory of my life into your brain, and you need to write it down so we can remember what's happening and save the universe.
Oh yeah, I don't remember. I have to read that one again.
I just got an IM from Keith, says he hasn't pooped at all today.
Putin?
Yeah.
Your daily poop update?
Well, no, we had a this well I'm
a long
I'm gonna talk. A long talk about healthy poop, and now that we have you in here and you eat very different from the rest of us, how many times do you poop a day?
A day?
Yeah, just one day. How many times do you poop?
Like usually once, maybe twice.
Okay.
Okay, that's what everybody's saying, except for me and Daryl, who are pooping 3 to 4 times, so I don't know what that's about. Daryl was animate, though. He said a healthy person has to poop 3 to 4 times a day.
I think as Daryl continues to eat more like healthier food and exercising more, he's going to start pooping less.
Because you just poop it all out.
Yeah, but if you're burning more if you're like exercising, so
there'll be less to poop out.
Plus.
Yeah, I guess if you're eating garbage, there's going to be more to dispose of.
Yeah, if you're eating leaner foods and healthier food, there's not going to be as much fat and just stuff. It's all lean. It's just going to go into pretty much energy.
Oh, I'm flipping through Annihilator. Yeah, I did like the first issue.
Daryl pooped it twice already. So, if we're keeping score.
So Keith is zero.
What's the score? Yeah. Keith is zero. Daryl, the day's just started. Daryl's doing twice, and I've done once. So we'll see how that goes.
So Annihilator, should I pick up the trade?
Have you pooped yet, Bill?
Today, yeah, I pooped.
Okay. How about you, Luke?
I have not yet, but.
Oh, so zero, one, two, and one.
I'm a morning pooper.
Okay. I wake up and have to poop?
No, usually like about midway through the morning. Usually like between 9:15 and 9:20.
It's scary, but that's pretty much exactly me too on the weekdays. On the weekends it varies.
You guys are like in the same cycle. You're like cycle sisters. All right, back to Annihilator. Sorry for that diversion.
That's okay. This is important health news for our listeners.
We like to focus on health in this show.
It's important.
Child care, all kinds of things come up in this show that are important in today's world. So go ahead. But Annihilator.
So in Annihilator, they kind of this is like the penultimate issue. So they pretty much they revealed most of what has been going on. All like the secrets of the antagonist, protagonist, whatever the Max No Max character, what had happened to him out in space and why he was in prison and why he's now on Earth. They get most of that kind of laid out at this point. So there's one more issue to go of that, and we'll see how that ends. And then as one Grant Morrison series ends, another begins. I picked up Nameless Number One, and it's about this nameless thief who can like travel through dreams and stuff and steal things, and he's kind of recruited to save the Earth from this asteroid that's going to crash into the Earth in about a month that could kill the entire population of the Earth. But this asteroid also has the symbol of a door to the anti-universe, which is of course one of those Grant Morrisonian things. So we're going to, I guess he's going to help try to save the world using his awesome skills and his lack of name, because that keeps magicians from harming him.
That's an Image book, right?
It is, yeah. Grant Morrison and Chris Burnham, who I think worked with him on Batman Inc.
Yeah.
What is that called? Nameless?
Nameless.
Okay, you went from Annihilator to Nameless.
Now, in Nameless, like, whenever I see the ads for that, it looks like that one manga book.
20th Century Boys?
Yeah.
Yep.
until I think of it, I'm like, hey, that's 20th Century Boys.
I didn't pick up either one of those, Annihilator or Nameless.
What are your thoughts on Grant Morrison in general?
I like him, and I don't like him. So I think the guy loves comics, especially DC history. So I like
the DC stuff.
I like his DC stuff. I liked his Marvel stuff. I've tried a couple of indie stuff that he did and didn't care for it, so I kind of avoid it.
Then you probably wouldn't like these, just cause,
yeah.
I mean, well, Nameless actually kind of feels like the Invisibles.
I didn't like that. So.
Okay, then you probably wouldn't like it then. Then I got Witches number 4, which just kind of continues the.
Don't spoil that one though. I like that book.
Yeah, it just kind of continues the horror of what's been going on, and then this issue ends with a little bit of a unexpected twist.
What do you do with your comics after you read them?
I bag them up, and I put them into short boxes, and then sometimes I break them out and I read them again.
Ah.
Then I got Nailbiter number 10, which is awesome.
Yeah, I love Nailbiter.
It's Nailbiter, and that book is fantastic. And it continues on from the last issue, and sets up a
so predictable.
Yeah, it sets up more mysteries for the series, and then it kind of sets up kind of an intense next main issue. But before that comes out, they've got the Nailbiter Hackslash crossover issue coming in March.
So the one you just read is at the end of the second arc or the beginning of the third arc?
I think there's one more issue in this arc.
Okay. So 5 issue arcs. Yeah, I think the first one was 5 issues.
Yeah, so I think this one's going to go to issue 11, and that'll be the end of that arc. And then the last issue I read was Velvet number 9, which gives a lot of which kind of discusses some more of the mystery of why Velvet was set up in issue 1. She gets a possible new ally, possible new enemy. We'll see. And it's just solid Brubaker writing, solid Steve Epting art. And there's one more issue to go for this arc, and then there'll be another trade paperback of that. I think this book is running a little late though, because it's been a couple of months since the last issue.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, his art's pretty detailed, so. That'll take a while. His isn't the art style that you can crank it out.
No, it's not. It's not. But, you know, it's Ed Brubaker's pretty much my favorite writer these days, and so I just love everything he does. So it's worth the wait. Then I read a couple of trades.
Are you reading his like 40s book, whatever? I can't remember.
The Fade Out? Absolutely. Yeah. That book is good.
I didn't get the trade of that. I don't know. I guess I wasn't as into that one.
It's funny because people say that like the Fade Out is just the same old stuff that Ed Brubaker does, like, you know, crime noir in the 40s. But he really doesn't. None of his series to date have been like that. I mean, Criminal is for the most part modern. It occasionally goes back to the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Incognito all took place in the present day, and Fatale started in the 40s, but that was only like the first arc, and it pretty much went from like the 40s to the present day as well. So I mean, that jumped all over time. So people saying like this is just another 40s noir Brubaker, it's like he doesn't do a lot of 40s stuff.
Yeah, I would say Velvet's more like his typical stuff. To me,
yeah, 70s spy thriller. It's
yeah 70s noir kind of spy stuff. But yeah, everything, I like his writing, so.
Yeah, definitely great. And I read the Delinquents trade, which is the Archer and Armstrong Quantum and Woody story from Valiant. And that was a riot.
Did you get that from your shop?
Yeah, but I had to special order it. Some of the Valiant trades they will get, but some of them they won't. Like I told you last night how Archer and Armstrong does really bad in my shop. So they don't. I have to order those trades if I want them. And
no, but you pre-order everything you get, or is that right? You pick it off the shelf.
Sometimes I pick it off the shelf. Sometimes I pre-order it. Like the Valiant stuff, I'm definitely pre-ordering just because, like I said.
What about all these image books that you get? Do you pre-order those?
No, they order enough to I can usually get them off the shelf.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, they're actually usually pretty good about ordering.
But you are willing to roll the dice and miss an issue then?
If I went to a different store, I wouldn't. But for image number ones, like I know they'll usually order enough that I can get it, and if I like it, I'll just say, hey, I want to subscribe to this, and they'll just put it in my subscription box every month.
Mm. But most of these are off the shelf, you said. Or do you subscribe to Velvet?
Oh, no, I misunderstood you. No, I subscribed. Everything I told you about, I subscribe to. It's just the number ones I would.
You try.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then like trade paperbacks, sometimes I'll order them. Sometimes I'll just nab them. So the Delinquents is really hilarious. I actually have a question for you, Mike. You've read all of Archer and Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, because I think there's a big plot thing that they're missing, or they've never occurred to them that is something that they should address. But I'm pretty sure that Archer is like clinically depressed.
Gay? Oh.
Like he
had a rough childhood, so.
He did, but at the same time, like. He now that he's out in the world and he's doing things with Armstrong, and he just never seems to be happy about anything. And I understand that he's just being bombarded with new things to learn.
What's there to be happy? The guy hangs out with fucked his girlfriend. What the hell is that?
First of all, she was his sister, not his girlfriend.
It wasn't his biological sister.
No, but he still thought they were gonna like. That was a bad situation.
They had the same parents.
And Armstrong did him a favor, frankly. But
I don't know. She's pretty hot.
Well, as Time Walker told him, he's going to end up being with Faith anyway, so. He just seems depressed.
There's a lot of people in the world.
It's just like the medical definition of the term, he seems like he suffers from depression. And
yeah, it's like a depression.
And they just seem to be kind of ignoring.
He's like the straight man, but it's hard to be the straight man when you're with Armstrong.
Yeah, and it just seems like they're ignoring.
It's all about business. Like I got to get from point A to point B.
Yeah, but they just seem to be ignoring that and just in favor of saying, I don't think
they're ignoring it.
Well, not ignoring it, but kind of more like misunderstanding.
I don't think there's anything to say. What are they going to take him to the doctor and give him some prescription? I mean,
well, they think the solution for him to get through, now that he's no longer in part of the sect, is to like get debauched and drunk and get like morally corrupt, and Woody and Armstrong kind of Armstrong less, but Woody definitely.
Well,
in
Delinquents, he got hammered, right? That one scene
quite a bit on absinthe, and at the end of the story, he's ended up like, "Listen, I can't do that. I can't be as debauched as you, Woody." But I think people are just in like thinking you were sad because you were religious, and now that you're not, things are going to go great. And he's clearly not.
I don't know if he's depressed or more methodical, kind of like Reed Richards, but not smart Reed Richards.
And I think you should bring this up to your bros at Valiant and say, listen, you're ignoring a very important health issue. And they'll listen.
Then you have all the fanboys. I don't want to read about this guy getting a prescription at the doctor or seeing a psychiatrist.
Listen, lots of heroes.
Read about him shooting an arrow through somebody's.
He can still do all that. They could just.
I think he's a product of his past.
Well,
if you do something like that to a kid, First you take them away from your biological parents and brainwash them into believing these other people are your parents, and they're religious fanatics that they use religion to hide themselves behind their real motivations. They're like the religious hypocrite to me, that whole organization and what they represented. And I think you would be that product. I mean, it's natural to me how he would be the way he is.
But the solution to that isn't to self-medicate. I mean, that's exactly what you do.
I'm not sure what you're arguing for, Luke.
I'm just saying that they're trying to, like, I think they're missing the point. The way they write Archer is like, he is like this, he's in this like miserable situation because he was living in this sect that trained him to be an assassin. We're all corrupt people, and now they're saying that the solution to getting over that is to just get him drunk and just get him out into the world and get him all, you know, experiencing everything that it's in everything bad in the world because he lived such a quote good life for so long.
And well, alcohol seems to make you happy, so.
Huh? But isn't it just the characters? Like, maybe it's just the characters think that that's the best solution when it's not really, and they're gonna.
That was what I kind of alluded to that. It's like, I think Armstrong thinks that's the solution, but I mean,
I don't read that at all. I don't interpret it the way you're interpreting it. I think they're having him trying to experience stuff because of the way he is, whether he likes it or not. That's for him to experience and make his own opinion on it.
No, I know that.
He kind of did make his opinion on it. They're like, loosen up. Maybe he wants to tighten that sphincter.
I mean,
it's his character.
I understand. Like I said, I don't think Armstrong realizes that is the case. But I mean, as someone who has dealt with depression in his life, the signs are pretty obvious. And that's how, I mean, even if that's not even what Fred Van Lente was intending, that's how he wrote the character. I mean, I see a lot of depression issues in him, and it just seems like something that they're ignoring, or could, you know, or maybe they're not ignoring and are going to get to it later.
Get on the Twitters with Van Lente. He's on the Twitters. Say, I think that he is depressed. What are you going to address that at some point? He'll answer you.
Fair enough. Maybe I shall.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to do it anytime soon because he's writing Time Walker. But
well, Time Walker is going to cross. Time Walker could potentially bring in everybody.
Yeah,
at some point in some reference in time. Yeah.
That book was pretty great. The first issue of that.
Yeah. I think it was Daryl's favorite issue. You probably won't hear that episode for a long time. We record those episodes and they never get released. it takes at least a month before each episode's released, it seems like. I forget what we even talk about.
Who edits those, you or him?
Chris.
Oh, okay.
I've been doing that with DC Noise, but I'm at least getting them out on a regular weekly basis. But I'm just stockpiling them because I know that there's times where we just can't get together. So I try to, if I stockpile them, or at least have two in the can or in the buffer. So
you're planning for the fan.
I could try to make it be a weekly podcast. Just like this one, it alternates between this and retro. I try to keep at least one podcast out a week.
Well, you've been recording them pretty much nonstop since 10:30 last night.
It's pretty much true. I got up this morning and started at 10:30 your time recording, and I didn't get a break because we went almost the full 3 hours. And I had a 5-minute break between Geek Brunch Retro and Geek Brunch. and then Daryl says, make it longer.
Well, I hope you managed to eat at least half a donut in your 5-minute break.
Oh, I eat. I have the mobile headsets now, so I...
That's right. You're constantly.
I'm constantly eating shit. Yeah.
He heated up a pizza last night while we were doing DC Noise.
I did. How about that? How about them apples? So, Bill, what are you doing? What are you reading?
What am I reading? Let's see. Some comic books here and there. Hey, what the hell happened to my comic books? I'm unprepared. Oh, here we go.
Where's your script? Find your script.
Find my script. Okay, I got a few books here. Let's see how many are number ones. Perhaps all of them. So here is a good one. From Vertigo, Effigy number one. This is written by Tim Seeley with art by... what's her name? Marley, is that it? Zarcone.
Sounds good to me. Effigy.
I can't find her first name.
Marley Zarcone.
Yes. Who you'll remember from that one book. I'm looking at my shelf trying to find it. Forgetless. She did the backup story in Forgetless.
That was... Forgetless was one of my favorite Nick Spencer books. I love that.
Came out ages ago. Holy cow.
Yeah, she did, like, remember how there's, like, the two stories? Mm-hmm.
She did an issue of Justice League, too. Justice League 23.3.
Yeah, she does stuff here and there.
House of Mystery.
Yeah, House of Mystery. So this is a new one from Vertigo, and it has a weird cover. I don't know. I don't really like the cover. I don't have no idea why they went with this cover, but whatever.
You don't like the cover? I think it looks pretty cool.
Not the one I got, anyway. I don't know if there's multiple covers.
Well, there are multiple covers, but which one? Yours is blue? Blue and
pinkish.
It has a little girl. Yeah.
Yeah. It just looks kind of blurry.
I think it looks animated.
A little bit. Well, her style is kind of... tends more to the animated style. So this starts out, there's this floating spaceship, not spaceship, floating ship, like sailing ship going through the air, flying through the air, and there's these pirates, these weird pirates, and then these star cops come on, who are a bunch of little kids, and they beat up the pirates, and then it says, stay tuned next week for the next episode of Star Cops. And then it jumps to the present where one of the girls who was on the show, who is now all grown up, is pulls over some girl for speeding. She's now a cop. And the girl she pulls over is like, hey, we went to high school together. What are you going to give me a ticket for? And then she says, sorry, you know, I'm a cop. I have to do this. And she says, and then she kind of rips into her about her being a child star. So she was a child star who moved off to, like, whatever, Las Vegas, did this kid show, and now is back in her hometown working as a cop. So that's kind of how it starts out. And then she gets pulled into this case where they found a body, like, in these Indian burial mounds. So she's going to investigate that. And then they kind of jump to I think is one of the other kids from the television show, who she's banging this dude, but it looks like she's the one doing the banging. If you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. She's dominating the sex? What are you talking about?
Yeah. But I could
take what you said as two things. I could say that she's like the one doing the pumping and stuff, or you.
Yeah, she's
I could take it. She's like a chick with the dick, or what? What are you saying here?
It's somewhere in that vicinity. They don't like show it
so
completely.
You she might have a penis. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, she might actually be a guy, like a trans. I don't know. One of those transgender, trans...
The one that goes up as a female her whole life, but has a... P- penis.
Yeah, it was a male body, but she has a female brain. I don't know. They haven't revealed. They haven't quite revealed it at this point. But she's a prostitute as well. So I'm not sure how she's going to fit into the story.
Mm.
But it's very interesting. This is very good. It was really well done. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. So I definitely recommend it.
So that's a wait for the trade in the Bomer.
Yes, I will get the trade of that.
Well, how do you know that you're going to remember? Do you take a note of it, or
I take a note of it?
Where do you put it?
I put it in my spreadsheet.
Ah,
comic reviews, and I haven't put this one in. I'll put it in right now. Effigy, number one. Score, I'll get that one 5 out of 5.
Ah, that's high.
Get the trade? Yes.
you have a get the trades.
Yeah, get the trade column.
And then, what do you do for the ones you don't like? Do you just not enter them, or?
I say get the trade. No.
see, that's where you could save time. Get rid of that column and only put books that you want.
I put them all in here.
Oh, because you're scoring.
That I
want
to get. No, because then because otherwise I won't remember. Because then I'll be like, oh, what did I think of Annihilator? And I'll be like, oh, it's not in the
list.
But
if it's not in the spreadsheet, then that means you didn't like it.
Or that I forgot to put it in the spreadsheet.
Oh, okay. I see what you're
saying. Or he never read it in the first place.
I usually remember if I read them. I just don't remember what I thought of them.
Well, you mentioned prostitutes, so I'll go into my next book. Zombie Tramp number 7 from Action Lab. I dig this book. But she's at this restaurant called Chicken Chicas. And this is by Jason Martin and Dan Mendoza, so the artist changed from the last issue. And she forces herself to eat regular food just to remind herself of what it was like, but she doesn't like it. Like, she wants to eat flesh. But she sees a abusive husband come in with his heavyset wife and 2 little brats, and he's like beating the hell out of his wife as they go in. He's like, shut the fuck up, bitch, and he's just hitting her. And he flirts with the girl that's at the counter, and man, she's like, look, the zombie tramp is looking at him like, man, this guy's an asshole. And so she starts to flirt with this guy, and she lures him into the bathroom and pretty much eats him. You know, she pulls out his intestines like a Danny Trejo and starts eating his intestines and eats him. And then his wife comes, the one that was being abused, and she's like, what did you do with my husband, you bitch? And she starts to attack her. And Zombie Tramp has the ability to like use like magic or mysticism to turn people to zombies. And she turned this heavyset lady into a zombie, and she just went into the restaurant and dipped her head in the vat and burned her face off and left the kids there, which was really weird because the kids are looking at their mom and her face is all burned off in the vat. But there's a group or this place that owns the chicken place. They capture Zombie Tramp, and they want – the scientist is weird. He just wants to tenderize her and turn into meat so he can make more chicken parts. And he wants to give them out at Halloween and call them Franken-nuggets. And he tries to drop her in the vat. And she does go into the vat, but she's pretty much indestructible. She's able to take control of all the chickens that are on the vat with her going up into the grinder, and they attack all of them people, and then she takes over the scientist's body and she's out of there. But it's very formulaic. It's just kind of like, what adventure is she going to be in next week? But I enjoy it. And I like the art style, even though there's like 3 or 4 artists, they have the same style.
Must be doing pretty well if it keeps coming out.
I think it's the number 1 Action Lab book.
Action Lab seller.
Maybe Action Lab Danger Zone book. I don't think it sells more than like Princeless or something like that.
Yeah.
So what else you got, Bill?
I got one from Image Comics. Rain, number one. R-E-Y-N. Written by Kel Simons with art by Nate Stockman.
Did you read this one, Luke?
No, I didn't.
And I just looked up the writer to see what else he's done. He's a guy, he did Mercenary C.
I like that one.
I didn't like Mercenary C.
I stuck with that one.
Yeah, I didn't like the first. I hated the first issue of that one.
Yeah, but you're younger and less mature than me. It's okay.
I didn't really like that. I think maybe the art had something to do with it. I didn't really like the art in Mercenary
C. It was very undynamic.
It's a strange style.
It looked like a Johnny Quest cartoon. Well, that's what I thought.
It looked like cut up construction paper cutouts.
I don't think that's the case. I think it looked like a Johnny Quest cartoon. Except with no not dynamic at all. Like steels.
Screen caps?
Yeah, screen caps of Johnny Quest. Which I like Johnny Quest, so I thought it was okay.
So that's a good thing for you. So this book is, I don't know when it takes place. It takes place in this world where it starts out and there's this guy walking across the barrens, and they talk about there used to be these wardens that protected this land, but then they all left until now. So making the assumption that this guy who's coming into town now is one of this group of people who used to be the protectors of this land. Then there's this big spider pops out of the ground on this farm, and the guy from the barons comes in and whips out his sword and attacks this giant spider and kills it. And then then it's kind of weird because the people who live on the farm, it's a husband and wife and their two kids, and they have a daughter who's, I don't know, maybe like 18 or something. And she's wearing like a corset, and her boobs are sticking up. And the father, so the dude who killed the spider has dinner with the family and then goes to bed. And then the father, the farmer guy, sends his daughter into the fighter guy's room to try and like convince him to stay. So I don't know, they don't show what he does with the girl, but you have a pretty good idea. Then they jump to the next day, and he's going into this town. And as he's coming into the town, this dude is taking these slaves out of the town and saying that they're criminals, basically, and they're going to the mines to do the mining for whoever the leader of the group. Whoever the leader of the town is. So they're going to the mine to do work. So that's what they do with the criminals. And then one of the dudes who's leading the criminals has like a lizard face. So everyone else has been human so far. So this is like the first non-human. It's like this lizard looking guy. So the fighter goes into the town, and there's this girl there who's preaching to the people and doing magic. And she's like a healer, magician. She's young too. And then the army comes to try and arrest on their horses to try and arrest her. Oh yeah, it's kind of like a medieval type thing. So everyone's wearing like chainmetal and they're on horses and things. So they come to arrest her, and then so the adventurer guy is going to save her, but sees that she uses magic to fight off her pursuers. So he goes to a bar to drink. And then she comes into the bar, and then there's a weird part where he's like talking to himself, but you can tell he's talking to like someone else. You just can't see who they are. So there's a few things that are kind of getting set up in this book. So and then it kind of ends. So it's a kind of like a medieval type thing, but there's a couple little mysteries going on. Like there's that lizard, and he goes back to like his lead lizard, telling him that this adventurer is back in town. So it's kind of setting up this world and the adventure that he was called? Like a wanderer or something? A warden. So this warden and this magic girl are going to have. So I liked it. It was good. I enjoyed it.
So the spreadsheet gets a yes.
Yeah, it gets a yes in the spreadsheet.
Oh, nice. So my next one is an Image, and it's a number one. It's called Postal Number One.
I wanted to read that so bad.
Brian Hill and Matt Hawkins, and artist is Isaac Goodhart. And the premise of this story is there's a small town in America that's used for criminals. It's called Eden, Wyoming. And if you have a criminal record, you can go here and live in a society of criminals, and the criminals are supposed to live within the constraints of that city and follow the rules like a regular city would have. And they can't go back to their criminal past. And it focuses around a character that has Asperger's, which is not the medical term nowadays. And he writes this, like, I have a couple of people I work with that are borderline with this diagnosed, yeah, some type of autistic version. This guy is definitely that. And he has a hard time just living in society. His mom brought him here because his mom had a criminal record, and she takes care of him, and she doesn't kind of like him because she can't stand how autistic he is about things. Like, he's just methodical. He has to eat the same burger at the same time. He has to have the burger positioned with the hamburger patty right underneath the bun and not mixed with his fries, or he freaks out. He'll literally, I can't eat this burger. It's touching the fries, and he like totally freaks out. And he talks to the waitress, and he likes the waitress a lot. She's a criminal too, but she taught him to like try to get over his situation, which they call Asperger's, by repeating things three times in his head before he says anything. But he gets involved with a killing because he's like becomes infatuated with this guy's got like this clay on his feet, and he follows this guy where he shouldn't be, and gets caught in a situation that he shouldn't have witnessed. But yeah, it's an interesting story. I really liked it. I didn't mean to buy this. It was one of those. No, I didn't order it on DCBS. I kind of read it, and I said no, but I went to the comic store to get my DC books, which is where I get most of my DC comics, is at the shop. And then everything else I get through DCBS. And I saw this on the shelf, and I looked at it, thumbed through it, and I liked it. And then I read it, and I really liked it. So it made my full list.
Cool.
Yeah, Postal. Did you get it, Bill?
Yeah, I haven't received it yet, but it'll be in my next box.
I think you'll really like it.
I like Matt Hawkins writing, so.
Yeah, we talked about Matt Hawkins last time, and this is a Top Cow book, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds.
He's the co-writer with Brian Hill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I got a book from Dynamite Comics.
Ah, which one?
This is the Twilight Zone number one. Shadow and Substance.
I like this.
Is that the J. Michael Straczynski one?
No, it's that one finished. And this that is like one the new finished. One.
This is the new one, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Written by like Mark Rayner. Illustrated by Edu Mena. And it was really good. I enjoyed it.
Is it a done in one or a continued next issue?
No, it's I'm guessing a four issue.
Okay.
No, it's a continuing one. So this is about a...
That's one of the complaints that a lot of people had about the original, because the original series, you know, they're in arcs, the original mm-hmm. series had 5 issues, and then the next one had a, you know, it was another story arc. As they were like, it's not a done in one, but who's to say it takes one issue to finish the story? It still has the same type of Twilight Zone ending.
Some people want a done in one.
Yeah, like the episode was, you know how Twilight Zone had an episode, and you pretty much can watch one episode out of any order, right?
Mm-hmm.
One doesn't have to do with the other.
Yeah, that's okay, but the comic book is so short, it's like you can only do so much in one issue. So,
well, I don't know. I mean, J. Michael Straczynski was saying like that it's impossible to do stories with twists in only one issue like that, but 2000 AD, since the 70s or 80s, has done tryout stories for their new writers, where you have to write like a 4 or 5 page story with a twist that's done in one, and people have been doing it for decades in that short a span of space. You can definitely do it in 22 pages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do it.
You could do it in 2 pages.
Yeah,
I read Short Stack. It's a little horror anthology that a horror story is told in 2 pages. So it just depends on how you do it.
Yeah, I've written 1 page scripts that have a twist at the end.
Mm. So yeah, it's kind of.
Yeah, all you gotta, you set something up and then you just change it at the end. I mean,
every script of Bill's for Geek Brunch has a twist at the end.
I'm constantly shocked.
Yeah, we always leave you coming back for more. Like, we leave you hanging with the little twist.
Absolutely. And but yeah, so it's kind of disingenuous to say for creators to say that it can't be done when it's clearly
bad. Well, what he should say is, I don't want to do it like that. Mm.
Yeah, you could say
that's your choice.
I could do it, but
I
have
can't say I can't do it. I could if I wanted to, but I don't want to.
You can say that the story I want to tell can't be done in one issue.
Yeah,
and that's a valid claim. I mean, if the idea he has for the story is too big for one issue, then it doesn't make sense to cram it into one issue.
Yeah, no, I mean, of course not. But I'm just saying that you.
So that comment
be
was
saying that it can't be done.
Yeah.
So
I can see that you wouldn't want to do it every month, because at some point you're going to be like, I want to tell like a story, like a full story, and not just little tidbits.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So this is probably four issues, I'm guessing. But this is the first part, and then it continues on after this. So this is about an author is returning to his hometown to do an appearance. He's to an in-store appearance. And he's kind of going back to his town that he left when he was young. And when he left, he said he would never return. But now he's going back there, I guess, to kind of... He's changed his mind and kind of wants to go back to see what his town is like and to kind of... I don't know. Maybe stick it in their faces that he's a famous writer now. He's also an alcoholic, and he also looks like Liam Neeson. So Liam Neeson, I think he goes to England or Ireland or something, or maybe Scoville. Is that a real place? I don't. Maybe it's not even a real place that he goes to. Nah, speed limit is 25, so that's miles per hour. Wait, which side of the car is he on? He's on the American side. Okay, he's just going to someplace in America. I don't know why. It's probably because it's Liam Neeson. I thought it was European. So he goes to. So he flies to this little town, and first thing he does is he goes to this car rental place, and the guy says there's no cars left. But then he says he's in town for this book signing, and he's going to be just in town for the day, and then he's leaving. So does he have anything he can just use for the day? And then he goes, oh, I know who you are. I've read your books. So he gives him his car basically to use for the day. The guy who works there. So he drives into town, and he's talking on the phone to his girlfriend or wife back home, telling her, saying that the town hasn't changed since he left, and he drives past like a place that has like a record store that has a cassette tape sale going on. And he notices all the people are wearing kind of 70s clothes and have 70s hair. So obviously, this being the Twilight Zone, you know that he's gone back in time and he's now in the 70s. And he actually sees himself as a kid. And then, so he's kind of freaking out. He's like, what's going on? Like, I don't understand it. But he's like, I'm just going to do my appearance and then go home. So he goes to this bar to have a drink, and he ends up seeing his mom. Like, this big biker guy is trying to lead his drunk mom out of the bar to take advantage of her. So he, like, goes in to rescue his mom and then takes her back home. And then he sees himself when as a kid, and the kid's like, you know, another guy in a long line of guys coming to sleep with my mom. He's like, no, it's not like that. And then the mom gets mad at the kid, and she threatens the kid by threatening to tear his comic book, if you can believe it. And she, like, rips his comic, and they're like, no, not that one. So, son of a bitch, this mom who's trying to destroy all this kid's comics. The worst kind of evil in the world. So then it goes on. He's trying to. So then he's like freaking out. Like, what am I doing back here? How is this possible? So he goes to the store where he's going to make an appearance, and they say, like, obviously they don't know what he's talking about because it's the past. So he goes to this comic book store and finds himself as a kid, and he kind of talks to himself. And the kid's like, "How do you know all this stuff?"
Hello?
Reveal kind of a secret about him at the end.
We lost you, Bill, for...
Oh, for a second?
Yeah.
Actually, about 3 seconds.
Okay. What did you miss? What did I say when I was...
The guy with the comic book store.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he goes to the comic book store and talks to the kid, and then at the end they kind of have a reveal of some secret information that we didn't know before. So I liked it. It was really good. And I like the art, too. I mean, it was kind of, I would say, typical Dynamite style, where it's pretty high quality, but not, like, the highest quality. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I actually liked it a lot. I'm not sure what else. Who is the... Edu Mena, I don't know. I'm sure he's done other Dynamite stuff, because they seem to keep the same artists around.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it. It was good.
Cool. What does this mean? Does this mean trade?
I will get the trade of this, yes.
Does Dynamite trade their stuff? Or is it like a guaranteed they'll trade their stuff? I don't pay attention in the solicits because I buy most of the singles.
Yeah, they... But... I think they trade their stuff.
Like, did they trade the last Twilight Zone?
Oh, yeah.
Did you read both? Did you read those?
I read the first volume.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, see, the next one I read is Spawn 250. I jumped back on for the return of Al. And I haven't read it since Al died, Al Simmons, and the other guy took over. I read a few issues of it, and I think what drew me away from Spawn was the artist, Szymon Kudrinski.
Mm-hmm.
And he did draw this issue. And one thing I noticed, though, is I liked his art better in this issue because, and I think I know why, I think they, like, lightened it up, like the colors and stuff, so it wasn't so dark. Because I don't think his art works good dark, like in the dark.
Can I interrupt you for 1 second?
Yeah.
The team that did the Twilight Zone book?
Yeah.
Is it the same writer and artist who did the Avengers special?
The Avengers special.
Yeah, remember you talked about that last episode, I think. The Avengers special 2014.
I didn't talk about it. Did
yeah,
you?
You did. No, you talked about it. You recommended it. The Television Killers.
What the fuck are you talking about?
But from Dynamite, the Avenger.
Oh!
Not the Avengers.
I thought you said Avengers, and I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I didn't read no Avengers special. No, Avengers special. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, so it's the same team and the same writer and artist.
That was really good. Historical 40s pick. Oh, God, it was great pulp.
So apparently they're a good team.
I recommend you try to find that if you could find that. It's good. They got some Billie Holiday in there, too. God, it's great. Oh, man. Yeah, Spawn 250 did a good job, I think, of... It was dense. It took me almost an hour to read.
It's like bigger, isn't it?
It was a $5.99 cover price, probably the size of three comics.
Wow.
Maybe more. I think they needed it, though, especially because I think what happened is they anticipated a lot of people buying Spawn 250. Well, it had like all kinds of fancy covers, Todd McFarlane covers, Scotty Young, Greg Capullo, a lot of other covers that came out with. Mm-hmm. I got the Capullo McFarlane cover, which has him kind of like on a throne, which I think is the best cover of all of them. But it did a really good job of, at least I thought, getting people back into the world of Spawn that have lapsed.
Mm-hmm.
Because it shows you like a post-apocalyptic situation in New York where like bugs are just – there's like a huge bug infestation. And it's so bad that these bugs are like being controlled that people can't leave the city. They try and then the bridges are just – overtaken, and then they like will take bulldozers to take the bugs out of the way, and more bugs will come, and it's like it's trying to keep all the people in, and it looks like a lot of people are dying, and you know they're trying to contact the Air Force and the Navy to try to get in there and help people evacuate the city, because that's what the local government's trying to do is evacuate. And even the Navy can't get in. The Air Force can't get in. What happens is like bats and birds will infest their planes and cause them to crash. Helicopters will go down. It's just a whole mess. They're losing all communications. Like, you know how Spawn would always do those TV set things where they'd have all the different reporters in it? They kind of have that style still. And it has the new Spawn kind of like sacrificing himself to revive the old one. And that's how it ends. But the next issue, I think, is I don't know if Brian Wood's doing it or if he dropped out for the one shot, because they're going to have a Spawn Resurrection number one. And then it goes back to Spawn 251, where Paul Jenkins will take over with John Boy Meyer. Interesting story about John Boy is he used to live here in the Springs, and I actually met him on a plane because we both missed the same plane. Oh no, what happened is we were coming back from Heroes and they lost our luggage, both of our luggages. So we were there together talking about comics and stuff, and now he's drawing Spawn, so that's pretty cool. So yeah, I liked it, and I am going to jump on to Spawn and see what happens with the next issue, Spawn number one. I know there was controversy with Brian Wood. He had scripted something, and I think he got offended after McFarlane edited the shit out of it.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
He pretty much said, I am not going to do this anymore. So we'll see what happens. So what else we got?
I have a trade.
Okay.
From Image and Top Cow, Sunstone Volume 1 by Saipan Saik. Now, you might have heard of this.
This wasn't it. Was this one direct to trade?
This one was direct to trade, yes.
Yeah, I heard about this one.
Original graphic novel.
I was listening to the Mayo report, and it actually made, which I thought was really weird, the top 10 trades. I thought it was weird just because
oh, and
here, Sajic. you hear him, but you don't think he's like as a top seller.
Top ten guy. And this is when he actually wrote Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is such a top seller is because it's a bondage book. It's about S&M. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm interested. You got
Mike just passed out.
I just is it Sunstone?
Yeah.
Sunstone?
Yeah, all one word, Sunstone.
It's not in my database, son of a bitch. I'm gonna have to look at this.
Because it was a trade.
Sunstone Volume 1. Bondage. Interesting.
We had a big discussion on DC Noise last night about what bondage was. Keith thinks it's blood stuff.
Yeah, he thinks it's anal. Like, it's not.
How does he get that?
Oh, wow. This book looks gorgeous, man.
It's beautiful.
Holy shit.
It's absolutely beautiful.
So this is like the Shades of Grey version of the...
It's Shades of Grey done well.
Oh,
so it starts out, it's about these two girls, one who is, after reading this, I should know the terminology, but I don't. So one is a submissive, so she, like, ever since she was young, she liked tying herself up, like, bounding her wrists and stuff. But she never had anyone that she could do this stuff with, because, you know, it's kind of a taboo type thing, so she never knew how to bring it up or whatever in relationships, or she's never with anyone who is into it. And then there's this other girl who is a dominatrix who...
I need to read this because...
I know, for your
Yeah, I have dominatrix a dominatrix there in my Kickstarter, so I need to read this.
So she's into that, and she has done dominatrix stuff, but she did it with her boyfriend, who is also like into the dominant role. So it didn't really work out, because you can't have two dominant people trying to dominate one another. So that relationship didn't work. But these two girls actually meet online, like in a chat room for this type of thing. And they decide to meet. And they're both kind of freaking out, because neither of them have ever done this with strangers. Well, certainly never done it with strangers before, but have never... Or the one girl has never actually done bondage stuff before, and the other one has never been like a full-on dominatrix where she plans everything out and has all the events of the evening planned out in advance and everything. But she's really excited about it, and she actually has like tons of equipment, because she's really into it, but she just has never really done it a lot. And she actually, the boyfriend of hers who she did try the stuff with is actually a friend of hers now, and he actually helps her make that his job. He makes dominatrix stuff for people, like he's a craftsman or whatever. So he makes a bunch of stuff for her. So she has a bunch of equipment. So this is kind of about them, and so they arrange that they're going to meet like on Friday night or whatever, and meet in person after chatting online and getting to know each other. And they're both really nervous before getting together, and they're both kind of freaking out. But then they get together, and at first it's kind of weird, because they're trying to figure out, like, it's a person who you've been friendly with. It's like a complex situation, right? Because there's this person who you've been friendly with online and you kind of know online, but then just that in itself, and then meeting the person in real life is always kind of like weird, you know? Like the first time you meet someone in real life who you have this relationship with. But then there's the additional complexity of you know what you're there for and going to do, so it's even weirder. So they kind of set that up, and then they kind of, you know, the situation loosens up and they kind of start talking and stuff. And then they get into the bondage stuff. And the way it's told, it's one of the girls, the submissive girl, telling her story. She's actually writing it, I think, like writing it in a book or whatever. So it's her retelling the story. So when they get to the actual bondage, they kind of it's not heavy handed, and they don't go like into a lot of explicit material. I mean, there is nudity and there is some bondage, but they don't like get full on into the sex part of it, because it's her telling the story and she doesn't want to get into that part of her life or whatever, reveal everything that happened. So it's framed in a good way. But so then as the story goes on, she kind of like falls in both the girls kind of like fall in love with each other a little bit, which is weird because the one girl hasn't been with girls before, so this is like a new thing for her. So it's all kind of about like, so then the story kind of gets into like meeting a person and falling in love and trying to figure out what you want to do and what's going on in your head and stuff like that. So it's really, really well done, and it's really well written, and the art is so awesomely gorgeous from Saik. So I highly recommend it. It was fantastic. And you get to learn a lot about BDSM.
How does he how's he with words? Pretty good?
Yeah, it's really good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I don't think I noticed any parts of it where there were any language problems.
I think you sold me on this one, because I went to Amazon while you were talking, and man, there's like 5-star reviews all over this place.
Yeah, it's really, really good. It's good on like so many levels. Like,
yeah, it's got 47 5-star ratings and 2 4-star, and nothing below nothing that. that is pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's good. I mean,
a matter of fact, it's like your review. Forget 50 Shades of Grey. This is what true DS relationship is.
Yeah, it's good because you get to learn about like a subculture that most people aren't familiar with. I mean, I know Luke is. Luke knows a lot about this field, but most of us aren't that experienced.
Well,
aren't
at all live, experienced okay? with
this. Well, Luke is the submissive one.
hey, there That's ain't right. no shame.
He yeah. has that gag ball in his mouth, and
oh, Cunningham's told me stories.
Yeah, that's how I found out.
Cunningham needs to learn to keep his mouth shut.
But then this is also good just because, like, the relationship side of it and, like, he captures, like, being in a new relationship and kind of falling in love so well that it's just a wonderful story. Highly recommended.
There's a volume 2 coming out in May.
Yeah, it was just, I think it's solicited this month. This or last month.
All right, so I'm going to cover I'm going to go through some really quick. I read Action Comics Annual number 13 from 2011. I didn't read it. And I did read it now, which this was the Paul Cornell where they were focusing on Lex Luthor. And this was a really interesting. This is young Lex Luthor's first meeting with Darkseid. And he pretty finds out about Inner Gang. And they have like this closet door, and he opens it. And he spends like 6 months in Apocalypse working for Darkseid, because Darkseid's infatuated with Lex because he's like no human he's ever met. And he puts him in the work of designing weapons for Apocalypse. And Lex turns on him, which I thought was awesome. And then when he fails, when he turns on him, he still manages to get away and escape. So I thought that was really cool. And then the second part of the story is Lex's he's like learning from all these villains. First he learns from Darkseid, and then he learns from Ra's al Ghul, which he's pretty much raised like a son of Ra's until he turns that around too. So yeah, this was a really good annual that Annual number 13 that I hadn't read before. And then I read from Dynamite, King the Phantom. The King features characters are all coming out on in 4-issue miniseries from Dynamite. And this is the Phantom. I recommend that you read King's Watch before this, because it kind of takes off after it. But in King's Watch, the Phantom, the current Phantom dies. And the whole thing about the Phantom is you're supposed to pass your legacy on. And it's usually your offspring, but you're supposed to pass it on to the next Phantom, and then he becomes the Phantom. Well, in this case, it never was passed off. So this guy knows of his death, and he becomes the Phantom just to find who the next Phantom's going to be. So that one is interesting. That was by Brian Clevenger and Brent Schoonover. Really liked the art, and the storytelling was really nice. I especially liked the art. I thought it worked really well with this pulp character.
Who wrote this one?
Brian Clevenger.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought.
And I read the second issue of Bitch Planet. I'm really digging this story.
Yeah.
And it's bizarre, because she's hit or miss with me. Some stuff I really like. Like, I like Captain Marvel, and I like some. And then other stuff I didn't like Pretty Deadly. And the art style is – I love the art style. I love the covers.
That's a cool design, just overall.
Yeah, it's really cool design. Who's the artist on this again? I can't find the damn credits. Delandro. Valentin Delandro, or something like that. But it's fantastic, and it does take another twist, because in the first one, you kind of learn about this guy sending his woman to the bitch planet, and then he might send another one to the bitch planet. It's like women that don't conform to his needs.
He's tired of them.
And it looks like there's a bunch of innocent women on this bitch planet. Yeah. And there's this weird corporation that wants to do this like fight club and televise it. And they're trying to recruit this one woman into being like a lead of this fight club and put it together. And she doesn't want to join, but she's having second thoughts. And it looks like they're going to put together a bunch of women to fight. And she's innocent too. It gives some of her backstory, and I really like it. And the art is really good. If you kind of like some of those like Ed Brubaker books, you know, the artist he gets for his crime books, this Valentin Delandro is kind of that style. And then it's got like a grindhouse feel to it that I like, because I like grindhouse movies. You know that. The covers are especially grindhouse.
They're super grindhouse.
They're super grindhouse covers. I would say it's even worth it just to have it in your collection for the cover, because I just love this shit.
Well, even the title's pretty much
grindhouse.
Grindhouse, yeah. Right? Bitch behind it.
Yeah.
Are you woman enough to survive? The only thing I didn't like about the first issue is that, like, at the end, it seemed to be about the one character, but then at the very end, it like flipped and to be about the other character.
Yeah,
well, I like that. It was a clever twist.
It did have the character in issue two, which you probably haven't read yet, Bill, right?
No, I didn't get the second one.
Is this? But this is the trade that you're waiting for.
I'll be waiting for the trade.
So by the time the trade comes out, you'll forget everything I said. You'll like, well, this is brand new to me. So that's good. But are you reading it too, Luke?
Oh yeah, I really dig it. I dig it a lot.
It's really good. I'm glad I took a shot at it, but the title is really what sold on, because I saw the title and I was like, you know, that's Grindhouse. And I buy Dark Horse's Grindhouse too, which is also written by a female, which is kind of interesting, because it's raunchy. It's got that raunchiness to it, you know, like prison sex, like Caged Heat. And yeah, it's I'm enjoying it. That's all I had. Do you have anything else, Bill, or you want to jump to movies?
We can jump, make the all jump,
right. So Luke, are you watching any movies these days, or
I haven't seen a movie in months. I've just been so busy, and I haven't really watched any here, and like, so trying to save money, they didn't go out to the theater, so I haven't seen anything in ages.
Well, you have to save money. You buy a lot of comics.
It's true. I do.
To help you get a discount, my friend.
Oh, I do. I do.
Yeah. That's a lot of weekly books. That's where you're... But you know what? That's what my primary source of entertainment is, too. So, yeah. But I do watch movies as well, but not a lot. I get one or two in. I watched one, and I was hesitant to go see it. Just these are movies that Barb picks, I tend to like really, really enjoy, but getting me there is a hard task. But she took me to see Selma, and I loved it, man. It had I had just watched Taxi Driver, and it had ties to that movie because of George Wallace was one of the senators in Alabama that was stopping that march. And George Wallace, the guy who shot George Wallace, was what Taxi Driver was based on, is his diary. So it was fascinating to see George Wallace in this, and his interpretation, and then learn about the Martin Luther King March, as well as it had a really short appearance of Malcolm X, but that was really interesting. But there are two graphic novels from, I think it's Top Shelf, solicited, that have to do with this. One's called March Volume 1, and the other one's called March Volume 2, which I'm considering getting at least the first volume to see if I like it.
I read the first one. It was awesome.
I'm going to have to check it out if you say it's worth it.
Yeah, it's good. I got the second one. I got them from the my library gets them. Check your libraries if your libraries get graphic novels.
But it's so... I just can't believe that humanity would do this to people, you know? It just blows my mind. And it still happens today is what really blows my mind. But
making a comeback.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane that you would repress another individual and just not let them do certain things. It almost made me sick on the like how they had to get voter registration. Like they would ask them like impossible questions. It almost made me want to vomit. This one woman kept on going. And man, she nailed like the first 2-3 questions, and then he just got into specifics, knowing that she was gonna fail, and then rejected. I'm like, motherfuck! If this was a white person, they wouldn't have to do anything but sign a goddamn paper. And it's nauseating. But I'd highly recommend this movie. It's really well done. Two really good movies, American Sniper and this one, I watched back to back. So. Really good films at the theater right now. Two of them based on historical events. So,
yeah, I wanted to see that one.
What else? What have you watched, Bill?
I saw a movie in a theater. Talk about great historical movies. That just kind of resonate with you, like with your, like you're in your heart and soul. I saw the SpongeBob movie with my son, and it was none of those things. But it was entertaining.
Was it in 3D?
They had a 3D version, but
you watched the 2D.
I don't go see 3D movies, so. And I certainly would not pay extra money to see SpongeBob in 3D.
What was your son's reaction to the movie?
He loved it.
Okay, that's important.
Yep, that's the important part. It's the one where part of it, like part of the hook is that SpongeBob comes and his friends come to the real world. So part of it, they're in the actual world running around. But that doesn't happen until like near the end, like the third act. So I wish my only complaint is that I wish they'd spent more time in the real world. It was pretty funny when they were in the real world. But if you have kids who are into it, it's not a horrible experience for an adult. To sit through. Not as good as the SpongeBob comic books, though.
Oh, even you my, love the SpongeBob even my son, comics?
Yeah, even my son agrees with that one. Yeah, SpongeBob comics are really good for kids. I also saw... What else did I see? I saw Sanitarium, but if you haven't seen that, we can hold off on that discussion.
Yeah, I'll watch it this week, and we'll have it in 2 weeks, if you can.
Yeah, it's fine.
I had known about this movie, and it was in my queue, and I didn't bump it up until the new previews has Sanitarium number 3 in it. Right. And I really enjoy these comics. I think they're great. So I was like, man, I should watch the movie. And if you read Sanitarium, you see the ad for the movie. And I was right. like, I want to check out the movie. So it has Donald Sutherland in it, doesn't it? Or it has one. Who does it have in it? I thought there was one.
Roddy McDowell.
Oh, that's who I'm thinking of who was in it. Roddy McDowell.
And has what's his name? I can't remember. It has Batman in it.
That's all really?
I'm not gonna tell you which Batman actor.
Adam West.
I'm not gonna tell you.
Michael Keaton.
See when you see it. But the Sanitarium movie is actually the first three issues of the comic, or first three stories of the comic.
Oh, that's cool, because I really like the first one.
Yeah, and I actually want to go back now and read the comics, like, to compare what they did in the movie.
Oh, does it have the doll maker one?
Yeah, doll maker one's in it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Who put out this comic?
Diablo.
I have not heard about it at all.
Really, you're not that. I'm all in for with Diablo.
Oh, I am too.
Which is good because that's all they bring out is very frequently.
It's almost like on a every 5 months or something like that.
There'll be a new
it's,
one.
It's really spaced out, and I haven't even read issue 3 because it's solicited in the next one. So you actually are spoiled on the comic now.
Yeah. But I want to read the comic, though, because the movie that was kind of confusing.
Oh, okay.
So I'm actually
for
looking
for the other story. What
I'm
was
looking forward to reading it.
Did you read Sanitarium 1 and 2?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I remember the Dollmaker one. What was the other one?
The first one was about a kid who's...
Oh, like, yeah. I remember that one.
And then he's like a monster guy.
Yeah. I like the Dollmaker one.
Yeah,
what was your favorite? Well, let me ask you, what was your favorite in the movie?
In the movie, I think the kid one.
Okay.
My favorite one in the movie.
Yeah, that has a pretty good Twilight Zone twist, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, they all kind of, they'll leave you. So the stories, it's called Sanitarium, and it's stories of people who are patients in this sanitarium, this mental hospital. And each of the stories, they kind of tell how they got into the sanitarium, which are all, they went through these weird experiences, and you don't really know if the experiences actually happened or if they were just in their heads.
Ah.
Sort of. Although it seems like they actually happened.
Go ahead and spoil it. I've already watched half of the movie, or two-thirds of the movie.
So the first, they actually did it at a different order in the movie. So the first story in the movie was about the doll maker.
I think that's a good choice.
To start with that one?
Yeah, I think
probably
so.
Was. So that one's about this artist who makes these like little doll figures and poses them in these scenes, like post-apocalyptic scenes or whatever. And he's been doing this for years, and all he does is care about his craft. And then his business partner wants to sell the collection to, I don't know, New York Museum or something. I don't remember what it was. For, like, tons of money, but he doesn't want to sell because to him it's all about the creations, and these are his babies, and he doesn't want to sell them. And then he's taking, like, this medicine, and he starts to kind of... Oh, he starts to hear his, like, mannequins talking to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're telling him to, like, kill people and don't trust anyone and they're all against you. So it kind of goes that direction. And then the second story is about a kid who had an abusive dad, and then he starts to see this like guy with like black wearing like a hood and kind of a strange looking face who like appear like seems to be like watching him. Like when he's in school, he's like outside the window and stuff.
So this one is the one that hasn't come out yet.
Oh, that was the first issue.
Oh yeah, the boy. Yeah.
And then at some point the monster dude comes into the boy's room and stuff happens. And then the third story is that it's a cool setup and it was a cool story, but it was a little confusing. That's why I kind of want to read the comic. It's about a scientist who predicts the end of the world is coming, and he creates a bomb shelter under his house. And he's retelling the story because when the story starts, he's in the bomb shelter, and this event has happened. And he's trapped down there by himself, and he had a wife and two kids, and he's trying to remember like what he's not sure what happened to them. He like if they're dead or alive, and then at one point so he's been down there for like almost 2 years, and then there's like a knock on the door, and they're telling him that it wasn't really the end of the world, and that he's the one who killed his wife and kids. But then he doesn't believe them because he thinks they're like the people who took over the planet or whatever. So it gets kind of weird. So I'm kind of curious to read the comic for that one.
You think it might clarify it a little bit?
Yeah. And that's the one. That's the one. It's starring Lou Diamond Phillips. He's the he's the main guy in that one.
I almost watched it this week. It just
didn't fit it into the schedule.
Fit in, yeah.
Yeah. It was better than I thought it would be. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to expect going in. I mean, a super probably low budget thing, but they got some good C-list actors in it.
Cool.
And it was better than I thought it would be.
It's better than Starship Troopers 2.
I started to watch Starship Troopers 3, but I couldn't make it all the way through.
Oh, it's that bad? Because Starship Troopers 2 started off bad, but it turned around, remember?
Yeah. It wasn't terrible.
I can't believe there are three of these movies.
Oh, there's four. There's one that's animated. Yeah, the animated one's actually really good. At least I think it is. The only thing about the animated one is it's hard to tell who all the different characters, because they introduce a lot of different characters, and they're in full outfits, like Halo. Do you know what I mean? So you don't see the facial recognition. But other than that, it's really good. So any other movies, Bill?
No, I think that's it for me.
TV?
Yeah, I've watched some TV. I've been watching Parks and Rec in its final season.
I just watched the first two episodes of it last night.
Why are they ending it? Is it by choice or is it by rating?
Seven seasons.
Chris Pratt is too expensive.
That might be part of it. It's never set the ratings on fire, but it was always a great show.
I should say it's probably because Chris Pratt is too busy now.
Although he said he would never leave the show because he enjoys it so much. They're all just kind of, you know, becoming bigger stars, and the show is on for 7 years, and that's a great run for a sitcom. And so this last year they jumped forward and had 3 years, so it's now 2017, and things are a little bit different. Things have changed somewhat in the obviously in the intervening years, and
dramatically, I would say.
In some ways, yeah, it has. In some ways, it's still remarkably the same as it always was. But it's been pretty funny. They've been showing like 2 episodes a week, with the exception of last week. They showed just one. And so it'll be wrapping up in 3 weeks, the end of December. The end of February is like the last, it'll be the last episodes.
Why are they burning through them, do you know?
I think just because the network felt they could just get through them, and there was only 13 episodes, and they just wanted to get them all done with.
So they probably have another plan for another show.
Yeah, probably.
They want to get it out there for February or something.
Or for March sweeps.
March sweeps, yeah.
Yeah. And I've been watching Agent Carter, which is
I like that show a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I don't watch pretty much any of the other superhero shows. But this
you're missing out. Gotham is so damn good.
You know, I didn't say this last night because I didn't want to get yelled at, but I tried watching Gotham. And
Agent Carter Agent Carter, let's go back.
Agent Carter is really good. I enjoy like the whole 1940s period thing, and I haven't watched any Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but this show feels like it's a little better because it's not as connected. It's in the intervening 70 years between.
Well, I think it's really connected. It even shows the Captain America scene at the beginning.
Well,
of
yeah, it is, but it isn't. I mean, like, the continuity isn't as tied into, like, with S.H.I.E.L.D., like, that was very tied into what was happening in Winter Soldier and Thor, whereas this is more like building up to, like, this was the SSR and it'll become S.H.I.E.L.D., and these are the parents of the people who will become characters later on. And it's really solid. It's a really good show. I think 8 episodes is going to be like the perfect length for it. And
is it 8 episodes with a option to continue, or is it 8 episodes and then it's done?
I really hope that they would do a second season. It was always ever going to be an 8-episode season. I really hope they'll do a second one, but I don't think the ratings are there to justify it.
Yeah, I don't think it's doing well, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I guess Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing so bad in the UK that they didn't even bother to bring Agent Carter over there. And, like, the two main leads are English, so.
Yeah.
Which is disappointing because it's a great show. And it's like, there's even with a show that you kind of know how things end for these characters, there's still plenty of twists and stuff to it.
Yeah.
So I'm totally enjoying that.
What else?
That's really it for TV right now. I mean, I'll catch stuff on Netflix and stuff, and I'm waiting for the final season of Community to start up next month. That'll be on Yahoo. Let's see. The last show I really watched on Netflix was Black Mirror.
Never heard of that.
It's a UK show. They've done 2 seasons of 3 episodes each. And it's like the Twilight Zone. If the moral of every Twilight Zone episode was technology will make your life irrevocably terrible.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's super dark. It is like super dark. Bill, have you watched
it? No, I never heard of it.
Really?
Sounds good.
It sounds like it would be something that you would absolutely watch. The first episode, I don't want to spoil it because, I can't talk about it really without spoiling it. But when the end episode ended, I literally sat out loud, "What the fuck did I just watch?" And I was just kind of horrified, disgusted, just kind of. Then I kept watching it, and every other episode was like, "Man, this is bleak. This is grim. This is dark." Haley Atwell actually stars in one of the episodes.
Who?
Haley Atwell, Agent Carter. Yeah,
so Black Mirror. That's on Netflix. Alright, I'll add it to my queue.
Yeah, it's only it's only 6 episodes. Like, 5 of them are 45 minutes long, and one of them is 60 minutes long. So.
I'll check it out.
So, that's really all I've watched for TV, other than, like, documentaries I play in the background while I'm working.
Yeah, I was watching Gettysburg for the second time documentary on Netflix. I like that documentary.
That's cool. I haven't
seen it. It's reenactment, essentially, of the Gettysburg event, which is, it's crazy how that timeline works.
Yeah. Oh, I did think of one more thing that I watched. On Amazon's pilot season, the most current one, they did the pilot for The Man in the High Castle, which is takes place in the 1960s in an alternate universe where the Axis won World War II, and the Nazis took over like the eastern two-thirds of the United States, and the Japanese took over like the western quarter. And there's like a narrow neutral zone right around Colorado. And it's about kind of like different players in a resistance movement against the Axis.
Colorado Springs is the DMZ.
There you go.
Not too far from it. I mean, but I guess the pilot season is to determine whether or not people can watch all the pilots and then vote to decide which ones they want to see.
How many? Oh, that's awesome. That's like a Top Cow's pilot season.
Yeah, actually.
So are there more than this one, Man in the High Council?
How do you
find out about these?
I had just heard about Man in the High Castle from somewhere, but like if you go to
Castle?
High Castle.
Castle, okay.
Yeah, and I guess if you just go on Amazon, just look up their Amazon. I don't know if you have to have Prime or whatever, but
Amazon Prime. Sorry, it's not Netflix.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
And then they'll like show a trailer for they show trailers for all the other shows. There's like a half dozen shows in total. Some comedies, some dramas. I watched the first like 5 or 10 minutes of this one that was about the Civil War, but it was basically like if the CW was filming a TV show about the Civil War where everyone is pretty and. Even if they're on the Confederates, they're still really conflicted about this whole slavery thing, and so it was not.
If you watch the documentaries, they weren't conflicted. They really wanted slavery was $1 billion, revenue stream for them.
Yeah. So I didn't really like what I saw of that one. So
I'm gonna have to look that up because we do have Amazon Prime too. I don't usually watch much of it. I usually do it for the shipping, but that's an interesting concept. Even for this Geek Brunch show, like to be able to watch 8 shows and pick one. I like that.
Yeah, it's based on a Philip K. Dick novel, but I don't think it's an exact adaptation.
Huh.
So, but I enjoyed what I saw, and if they had more, I would probably watch it.
Yeah.
So you vote for that one?
I didn't vote for it, but because it's not my Amazon Prime account, but.
But whoever's account you were hacking voted for it.
The guy whose house I live in, who was also watching it with me, yeah. Plus, I hacked my neighbor so that I could vote twice, but don't tell anybody. So that's definitely it for TV for me.
Bill, what do you watch? Hello? Son of a bitch. Come back, you son of a bitch. Hello?
Bill, did you mute yourself?
Oh, we just lost somebody.
It was Bill. I'm still here.
Dropped. That's weird. It says call drop, but I can't call him back. Maybe his kids were on the internet.
Damn kids. Kids were on the internet.
Did you hear Mike say that his kids are on the internet before you said that? Because if not, that's a hilarious coincidence.
Well, to be honest, it is in the script, so.
Yeah. He's really efficient at this IM thing. He must type like 150 words a minute or something.
I had to get that one out quick before I disconnected.
Yeah.
Gonna get disconnected.
I even had like I had to cuss for a little bit. I said son of a bitch. He said, "Say son of a bitch."
Say son of a bitch a couple times.
I said, "Son of a bitch, Skype, son of a bitch."
So, yeah, that's all I've watched. I was going to say, to stick with the Amazon Prime thing, I have been watching Transparent on Amazon, which is the one about Jeffrey, what's his name, Tamborn?
Yeah, Tambor.
Tambor, who is a man, divorced man, who has adult kids, who has decided in his 60s or 70s, I don't know how old he is, that he is going to now live life as a woman, which he has wanted to do his entire life, but now he's finally accepting it and coming out to his family.
Like Bruce Jenner.
Is he a woman now?
He looks like a woman. Have you seen him lately?
Or has he just had too much plastic surgery?
He looks like a woman. If you go Google Bruce Jenner, and you'll see.
Yeah, I've seen some pictures of him. But yeah, Transparent's really good.
He was married to a Cardassian too, I think, Bruce Jenner.
Was he?
I think so.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
What else have I been watching? Oh, I did. I have been watching that Empire show, which apparently is very popular.
Yeah. I just read a story like before the recording that's like a 23-year ratings high for Fox.
So that's the one that's about a hip hop record label, and the guy who runs the hip hop record label, his family, and kind of the business of it. And in the first, I think in the first episode, his wife gets out of jail. Because the way the story goes is, him and his wife kind of he's a singer, music guy, and in order to bring out they started a record label to bring out his records, and they got the money from drug dealing, and then they got busted, and she took the hit and went to jail while he built up this company. So now he owns this multi-million dollar record company, and at the start of the show, she gets out of jail after 17 years. And obviously, and he's since divorced her and is remarried. I think he's remarried. So she wants a piece of the company, but he doesn't want to give it to her. And then there's stuff with their three sons. And there's a lot of like additional complexities to the show, which I like, which I kind of wasn't expecting. Like the one son is like kind of like the business son, and he wants to take over the company when his dad passes it on. And then the youngest son is like a rapper, and his dad wants him to kind of bring out a record. And then the other son is gay, and the mother wants him to have a music career. And then there's some other stuff with the father. And then, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know. There's a lot of little things they keep throwing into it. So it's been actually pretty good so far. I've liked it.
Sounds interesting. The only thing I've watched is the usual. Gotham is still my favorite show on TV. I just love it. And I'm glad that Luke likes it as well. But he just doesn't have the time. So
bad he doesn't have time to watch it.
Yeah, that's too bad. It's really good. The character building in that show is just phenomenal, with probably the best acting that's on TV since Friday Night Lights. But I watched The Flash. That show I like. I don't like it as much as I wanna like it. Because it's a revolving, they capture people and then they're out. They get out. They put them into the cell and then they get out. They can't keep anybody in this technical cell. They have the best scientists on Earth and they can't keep them in. But it's still fun to watch.
I do really want to watch that show. I hope to catch up this summer maybe.
Yeah, they've introduced a lot of rogues. You've got So far, we've gotten Captain Cold. We've gotten Heat Wave. We've gotten glimpses of Gorilla Grodd. We've got Pickaboo, which is a really obscure one. Blackout, which really isn't. They're starting to put in like Firestorm related villains in there too. So, yeah, they've done the Pied Piper. Man, they've done a lot of them. I'm probably missing quite a few, but it's quite a rogues gallery they've already built. Oh, they've had hints of a Golden Glider because she's the sister to Captain Cold.
And, well, they can do it because they're introducing a new one every episode. So.
Yeah, yeah. The only ones that they've had repeats of, I believe, are Pied Piper's been in two, and Heat Wave. No, Heat Wave's been in two indirectly, and Captain Cold's been in two. Everybody else is kind of new, but. Yeah, I'm enjoying that show. It's just I wish it wasn't as formulaic. Is like Gotham to me is not formulaic at all. It's I think I like the ongoing storytelling than the formulaic.
Done in ones.
We have a villain, we capture him, and then we're on to the next. And Arrow is a little more to me like building. So I like it a little bit more than Flash, which is the opposite of what everybody else will tell you. But that's because I'm me. what else? I saw the Agent Carter. I was really surprised. Like, it is good. Plus, it's in a. I've been listening to 40s music and stuff lately, and it's got all the 40s stuff. And I've been watching a lot of World War II stuff, and I'm really into that time period.
Are you caught up?
No, I haven't watched this week's.
Okay.
Yeah, I only got caught up on this week's Gotham and Flash. I still need to watch Agent Carter and Arrow. And I started watching Constantine, and really starting to climb the charts for me.
Yeah, I like it.
I saw the introduction of Jim Corrigan, and I really liked it. I really liked it. And then the follow-up episode was even better because it had to do with, like, possessed kids. I thought that episode was phenomenal. It was an entity that was jumping from kid to kid and killing the parents. And I thought that was creepy as hell. Kids creep the hell out of me, so especially when they're, like, possessed. But Constantine, that show, I still have like four or five episodes behind, but I'm enjoying that one a lot. And unfortunately, that's like Agent Carter. It's tanking in the ratings, and there's all this buzz about them canceling it or possibly moving it to Sci-Fi. I hope that's the case. And I hope if they move it to Sci-Fi, it doesn't lose the quality. But yeah, I like it a lot more and more the more I watch it.
Yeah, so, I'm digging that one too.
Yeah, I can't think of any other shows that I'm watching other than I said I'm watching Gettysburg for the second time, the documentary from the History Channel, and I'm really digging that. So I think that's it for TV, unless you got something else, anybody.
Nope, I'm good.
Food, Bill. Come on. Daryl wants to give it to him.
Let me think. I did talk about the seitan sandwiches. Excellent. What else? I don't know. I got to think. I still haven't taken notes.
We had a pork, like Asian meal that Barb made, and that was really good. I dug that. Harley was trying to come in with grass all over her, and I'm trying to go outside and prevent it from happening. Harley, you're a mess. Lost my mic in the process. But what was I talking about?
Pork Asian meal.
Oh, yeah, that was really good. It had Asian noodles, pork, spinach leaves. Like some kind of soy-based ginger sauce. It tasted like I really like that one. So I was like, Barb, add that one to the list. And then she made a – this was like a vegetarian-type soup, which was pretty good. I just think it needed some beef in there or something. But it had chicken broth, so that's the closest it got to having, like, a meat in it. Was it had chicken broth, which you wouldn't eat, right, Bill? Chicken broth is meat to you, right?
Yeah. It's got chicken DNA.
Yeah.
Floating around in there.
And you worship the chicken, so.
I do honor the chicken.
That's
chicken
like you're like the new religion of chicken. You worship the chicken god. Bill, do you got anything? How about you, Luke? Do you eat the same? You already said what your meals are. They're the same every day.
Yeah, they're pretty. They're usually pretty light. But during January.
Why do you eat light? Because you don't have the money and you want to have it for comic budget, or because I've seen you eat like a motherfucker. You're like, can you get me like 4 or 5 guys and just bring them to me at my table?
Six bags of fries,
yeah. I mean,
I do have a very high metabolism, but I don't want to eat like a lot of garbage, so I just try to restrict what I
Mike's body is a temple.
Well, you know, I'm trying to keep in shape and I'm trying to tone up, and
it's for his Kickstarter because he's getting ready to take pictures of his bush and put them in the back of a book. So,
well, actually, it's almost time for beach season. The Kickstarter is just a happy coincidence.
Ah, yeah. So that means you got to trim your bush.
Bush on the beach.
Yeah, put your bathing suit on. You can't have the bush hanging over your trunks.
Yeah, careful with the man spray.
I just try to eat healthy in general, so that when I do have an opportunity where I'm going to eat at Five Guys or somebody brings in donuts at work, I can eat a ton of them consequence free.
Planning for the splurges. Mm-hmm. That's how you got to do it.
Yep. And plus, like I said,
I'll eat like a pig. He's basically saying if somebody else is bringing food, I'll eat like a pig. But if I have to pay for
it. If someone else is paying for it, I'll eat everything I can eat.
buffet. I have a very high metabolism, so I could eat a ton. I just really just choose not to.
I think Greece is the way of the future. I really do. I think it like prolongs your life. It's just that people are trying to prevent that from happening.
It's a conspiracy.
Yeah, because it's like the more germs you suck in as a kid, the better your immune system is. Well, the more grease will prepare you for post-apocalyptic eating.
So your entire diet is based on the inevitability of the zombie apocalypse.
Hey, Bill, we have some fucking good ideas if we only had the money to get them out. we probably do have the money to get them out, but then we'd have to stop buying comics. But yeah. Well, I'm going to do I already have my first and already drafted and ready to go.
Nice.
Well, 6 pages of it. Like, 6 pages of the 22-page comic. Yeah, Campbell actually drew pages. He was inspired by my.
Yeah, I saw the first page.
Premise. Yeah, he's pretty talented.
I was surprised.
Yeah. First and is that it? Are we done?
I'm done.
I can leave you talking to appease Daryl if you want to, and I'll just leave Bill.
I can just talk about tofu for a couple hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Different tofu preparations.
Well, so
Daryl can try them.
He probably would now. He's eating like shit. He's eating healthy now.
I know. He's going to be a machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He does this, though, but then he reverts. He never is consistent.
Then he'll be eating donuts in his underwear crying. Crying into his spaghetti.
He's good, and then we go to a con, and then he's like, well, I'm just going to cheat on the con, and then he falls.
Then I'll go back to my old...
But the problem is in the summertime, there's like a con every other weekend, so it's like, I'm going to eat like a motherfucker.
Just con season.
Yeah, but con season's
only
like...
Seven months of the year.
Yeah, it's going late now. I'm trying to block out my con schedule for this year, and like there are conventions at least three of every of the 4 weekends in September, and I'm like, when did they start going so late, like consistently? Like I knew they would always go out to like, you know, October or November, but it's usually like one or two shows, not like four or five.
Just more of them now,
probably.
There's a lot of shows now. Even around here, there's new ones popping up all the time. Well, smaller ones, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of them happening in the springs. There's another one that's happening in March. It seems like when they have them local, I'm not in town. So it's just a weird coincidence. It's a destiny that I don't buy a lot of comics. But I like local cons because... I could take my Durango and just back it in and say,
load it up.
Drop these fuckers in the back of the truck and we're ready to go. All right. Well,
wait down those shocks.
Luke, you want to give your contact information?
Sure.
And how to get your Kickstarter. I'm going to release this episode out of sequence. I usually go retro geek brunch, but because you have the Kickstarter, I'm going to release this one.
Oh, thanks.
Try to release it tomorrow.
That guy's got a low rider Durango.
Who does?
You do when you leave a con.
Oh, when I leave a con. Yeah, I just put the bandana over my eyes and I'm ready to go.
Badass. You can find my Kickstarter, search for Center of Somewhere. It's called Center of Somewhere, Volume 1, Small Town Heroes. You can search for that, or you can search for Luke Foster. You can reach me on Facebook, just my name. You can Twitter at Cartoonist Luke, on Tumblr as cartoonistluke.tumblr.com. And my... New comics go up every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at centerofsomewhere.com.
Nice. Thank you. Check out that Kickstarter. And if you want Bush, make sure you request it in the message on the Kickstarter page. Just say Luke Bush. Pound Luke Bush.
Pound Luke Bush.
I'm Pound Luke Bush. Pictures of former presidents. Bush.
Pound Luke Bush.
Remember when you request your sketch, remember to request it with extra Bush.
So you can reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com. Of course, you know that because you're listening to this. Or you could get it on iTunes.
Well, unless you
iTunes review.
They may have gotten this podcast from a friend.
Yeah.
So that they don't know where.
Or you may have got. You may have heard of it as if you're a solicitor and you've contacted Bill, and you've heard about Geek Brunch through that.
True. Or you might have just found this on like a Bush forum somewhere, Bushlovers.com or something.
Bush lovers. Pubic hair. If you search.
Pubic hair. Pubes.com. Yeah.
Thank you. Welcome. Welcome. And
Magnum's Bush.
We're at Twitter at DBM00 at @do_what. I don't know if he'll ever come back. He probably like feels like relieved. Like
to the show or to the country?
Well, yes. I think both. So I don't know. We'll see. Cause I think he comes back in September timeframe. I'm at Mike Myers Brunch. Mike, Micah, and Bill at comicbooknoise.com. Leave an iTunes review. Make us happy. And come back next week. Say bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a good one, guys.
You too.
See ya.
Right.
Bye.
Thank you.